All right, everybody take your Bibles out and turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 7. Once again, we're in Proverbs, and it's a continuation. And Proverbs starts off, the first few chapters, warning about sin, warning about destruction, warning about the pit. And this chapter 7 is about the death of a fool. The death of a fool. This Proverbs should scare each and every one of us. A lot of the Proverbs can be summed up by the one verse. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And so we're going to read Proverbs chapter 7, starting in verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. I don't know about you, but I wasn't real fond of my sister growing up. No, just joking. But anyways, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the woman which flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offering with me. This day I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, and with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth that not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend unto the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that as we study Proverbs, I pray that you give us wisdom, help us to apply it to our lives, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may say, well, I don't have a type of problem with the sin that is talked about here in Proverbs, but sin, no matter how you dress it, no matter how you disguise it and wear it, basically it is the temptation. Here is a temptation of the woman, or a temptation for the dollar. The devil is trying to get you. And we've got to understand that we have to learn how to apply God's word to our hearts. And even though sometimes that the Bible is talking about a particular sin or a particular path, it is important that we learn to apply God's word to our lives. There are truths here that even though they're talking about a particular sin, can be applied to our lives and can keep us from many pitfalls. And so the wise thing to do is to look on how to apply this truth to our lives. And whether you apply it to this sin in particular or just a sin in general. Solomon saw something from a window, from his window, the Bible says, that bothered him. And he saw a foolish young man walking along a very specific path to have a rendezvous with a woman. And Solomon watched as he traveled the path to go to her, and she brought about the ruin of a man's life. Solomon, very fearfully, goes to his son Rehoboam, and he wanted to protect him from the evils in life. And this is why it's so important for us to study Proverbs, is because Satan desires to ruin us as well. Satan, the Bible says Satan desires to have us that he may sift us as wheat. The Bible says that Satan is as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You can't get rid of evils in this life, so we need to train ourselves how to overcome these temptations. There's three characters in Proverbs chapter 7 that teach us how a fool dies. Number one is Solomon. We see Solomon as the pleading of a friend. You see, Solomon didn't come to his son as just a father. Solomon came to him as a friend that was very concerned about his well-being. Maybe he realized that he was old enough that he didn't have to live in his house anymore, but he wanted to help him. And by the way, when it comes down to it, I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 2. The Bible says, keep my commandments. Notice it was not God's commandments, it was my commandments. Solomon came to him and he was very concerned. That's against the rules. And Solomon came to him and he was very concerned. He's saying, listen, keep my commandments. Solomon saw casualty come about because a young man was involved with a beautiful, well-respected woman in the community. And that young man who yielded eventually forfeited his life. He became a casualty. And Solomon was concerned that his son, Rehoboam, would be the next casualty. We've got to learn to have boundaries in our lives. And we've got to come to a place where we accept a rule and boundaries even as an adult. And we never get to the place where we don't need boundaries. Some people think that when a young person gets a piece of paper that says they graduated, that it automatically makes them an adult. And those young people think, if I can only get that piece of paper that says I am educated. And because they can wave around that piece of paper and point to the graduation certificate, there are some people that think that that makes them an adult. But it doesn't. It just brings them closer to a place that they can wreck and ruin their life if they're not careful. Because what happens is when they're in the confines of the home with a mom and a dad, hopefully, according to God's plan, that love them and place boundaries upon their life, most young people stumble at the door of adulthood because they feel like they do not need boundaries. And by the way, everyone in this room, no matter the age, no matter the piece of paper that we can wave around, we need to understand that we are to have boundaries in our life if we are not going to become a trap of Satan. And so I believe that there should be rules for grown single children living in the home. And as long as they're in a home, in your home, there needs to be rules. And whether it be, now here's the thing is, we need to realize that those young people are not a child, but basically, I think that any young adult living with mom and dad ought to obey mom and dad in the area of moral rules. A young adult should have the right to follow God's will no matter what mom and dad say, but there should be rules in the home. One of those rules should be to attend church faithfully. There should be a rule, no church, the locks get changed. And we can't do that if they're in the house. But everybody's looking at Lance. Is there something you need to tell us? No, he's got boundaries for college. And but listen, you shouldn't tolerate bad habits. If they drink or smoke, they need to lose the habits or get out. And so they ought to have the right dress standards, to dress decent and right. Just because they're old enough to wear what they want does not mean that they can or they should. And so we all need to make sure that we have boundaries. And you say, I've been a Christian for 34 years or 58 years or 72 years for Brother Slater. And listen, we all need boundaries. And so, we need to, number one, we need to have boundaries. Number two, we need to stay close to God. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. If you want to avoid ruining your life, you need to come to the place that you stay close with God. The Bible says that we need to call wisdom my sister. Wisdom is the ability to see things from God's perspective. Now, let me ask you this. How many have ever been to some place like Mount Rushmore? And some place that they have the big giant scope or binoculars. And, we've gone to several places that had that. Several years ago, we took a trip out west. We stopped by Mount Rushmore. We stopped by Twin Falls, Idaho. It's the Great Falls of the West. And several places along the way. And if you put a quarter in there, all of a sudden you can see from a certain perspective. And you can see things that you couldn't see before. But let me tell you, the only way to see things like God sees them is to get close and stand where God is standing. When you put the quarter in the machine and you try and tell your spouse or your kids, oh man, I can see right up the nostril of the president on the left. And anyways, listen, you describe certain things. But you know what? They don't see what you're seeing because they're somewhere else and they aren't looking and they don't have the perspective that you have. But if you step aside and they're able to step in and look into that machine, they all of a sudden, and they're standing where you stood before, all of a sudden they have the same perspective that you have. Well, this is what we need. This is wisdom. Wisdom is getting the same perspective on a certain topic as God. It's putting in the effort. It's studying our Bible. It's getting close to God. It's putting prayer time in so that we get the same perspective. We look at it from the same angle. We look at it from the same direction. We stand where God stands. And the only way that we're going to have wisdom is to get close with God. Then we can have the same vantage point and see things through the same perspective as God. But too many times we take and we don't walk up to the eyeglass and we don't see things from God's perspective. We're standing over here, we're standing over there, and we say, you know what? Okay, I haven't read my Bible today, or I haven't prayed, or I haven't walked with God, or maybe I've got sin in my life, and I'm standing where God's not standing. I'm standing somewhere else. We're not going to get the same perspective in life. Why is there so many false religions out there? Because they're not standing where God is standing. They don't have the same vantage point. They don't have the same perspective. Oh, that we as Christians would start standing where God stands. And here's the thing is, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're not gonna have wisdom. We are not gonna see things from God's vantage point if we don't stand on the area of holiness, stand on the area of church attendance, stand on the area of standards and convictions. We need to stand where God stands. We need to voluntarily have these boundaries in our lives, and these boundaries protect us. We need to stay close with God so we can see things the way God sees them. And next, we need to live in the Bible. Verse 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Understanding means the ability to take the Bible and help yourself with it. It is to apply the Bible to your life. See, the fool is one who hears what the Bible says, but refuses to apply it to their life. Many Christians say, well, that's not my problem. Or, that doesn't apply to me. Or I can get away with thus and so. Let's stand where God stands for a minute. Let's see what sin really is. Let's see what sin. Sin was what nailed Christ to the cross. I'm sure he doesn't have a good vantage point of sin. And so, listen, some people say, well, I don't agree with what the pastor's saying. But too many times what the pastor's saying is right out of this book right here. And so we don't have wisdom, and we don't have the ability to help ourselves with the Word of God. See, spiritual maturity is the ability to realize that we have a hurt and that we know how to use the Bible to heal that hurt. It's simply being able to take the Bible and help ourselves. It's one thing to know that the Bible is a lamp and can show you your path, but it's a total another thing to use the Bible as a light for your path. It's one thing to know that the Bible is a mirror, and if we look into the perfect law of liberty, we'll see ourselves, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some uglier than others. And, right, Lance? No, she's joking. Anyways, it is another thing to use the mirror of God's word and show your flaws and root out the sin and cleanse our life. You see, the difference is a child who can quote the scriptures. And listen, that child can quote the scripture, but it's a mature individual that can take that same scripture and apply it to their life and use it to live properly. They will use it to help themselves out of trouble. And by the way, we need to take and be spiritually mature enough that when we read the Bible, when we study the Bible, we see the truths that God has for us. The truths that when we're applied to our lives will help us. The truths that when applied to our lives make us stronger, make us better Christians, draw us closer to God, that God can use us in a great way. We need to live in the Bible and learn how to use it. The next we see is the portrait of a fool. Look at Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 7. And beheld many of the simple ones, I discerned among the youth, a young man void of understanding. The Bible says here, I beheld a simple one. This isn't one that can't understand. This is a person who is someone who has not yet had a complicated life and no sin scars. The Bible says he is void of understanding. He doesn't know some things. He's just walking down the highway, blissful and unaware. He is lacking understanding that the devil is trying to destroy him. And he thinks everyone is good. He thinks that he can go through lives and achieve his dreams and goals with minimal effort. Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. Next, we see he is idle. He's not in a hurry. He has all the time in the world. He has no responsibilities. He's the simple one. Let me just shift gears there for a moment. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49. And before we get there, I want to ask you this question. What was the great sin of Sodom? What was the greatest sin of Sodom? The answer is found in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Brother Lee, are you there? Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49, the answer is no, he's not there. All right, Dallas, you're there? Stand up and read it nice and loud. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. All right, so the greatest sin of Sodom was pride and idleness. They had too much time with nothing to do. We need to be careful of that. By the way, we as parents, sometimes we can go to different extremes. You know, there are parents that grew up having it rough, no free time, busy, maybe no childhood. Maybe it was because of a parent passing away and they were forced to grow up faster than they should. There wasn't a lot of play time, but then they decide that, you know what, my child needs a bunch of free time. And by the way, that's a dangerous spot to be in as a child. Then there's a parent who maybe survived a lazy childhood. They got everything, toys, games. Maybe they were raised by a retiree, whatever the case may be. And they decided that, you know what, I've survived it and so can they. Whatever the situation is, we've got to be careful. Because we can't get to the point where we have idle time as a devil's workshop. There's that saying, and it goes along with the scripture verses. All you got to do is ask a police officer about the common criminal. The ones that are constantly in the back of the squad car with cuffs on them. Ask the police officer, how much free time do you think that criminal had? The answer is probably always way too much. I'll never forget going on an ambulance call in Buena Vista. It was by Saginaw, Michigan. And we'd go on an ambulance call in the hood, and anyways, it just seemed like people came from everywhere. It doesn't matter what time of day, people came from everywhere. And we would have to do what we called scoop and go because things would get bad fast. And what was it? People had too much free time. And too much idle time will hurt a child. And just like too much responsibility will also hurt them. You know, we need to be careful about free time. And next we see in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 9, in the portrait of a fool, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, he thinks he is invincible. I tell you what, a lot of young people think that way. Well, I can do thus and so. And you know what? What I learned on the ambulance was, a lot of times the really stupid things were done by young people. Because when you get a little older, you realize that you don't bounce as well. You don't heal as well. And you know what? Things just aren't the same. I remember going on an ambulance call where somebody took one of those long skateboards, and there was this hill that was miles long. And they estimated that they were doing 60 to 65 miles an hour on a long skateboard. The problem was, is nature put a rock right in the middle of the road. Those little skateboard wheels don't roll over rocks very well. 60 to 65 miles an hour launched from that long skateboard, bones broke. And anyways, they, young people, a lot of times they think they're invincible. But this individual, he purposely headed in a dangerous direction at the most dangerous time of the day, the dark night. And by the way, the worst ambulance calls and police calls happen on third shift. One of the worst times of year that I remember going on ambulance calls. I had to do it a few times just for the experience, was New Year's. And in Saginaw, on New Year's, all the ambulances would get parked inside, as many as they could fit. All the fire trucks would get parked on the inside, as many as they could fit. All the police vehicles would get parked on the inside, because in Saginaw and Buena Vista, at midnight, about 10 minutes before, all 911 vehicles would be pulled off the street until after about 15 minutes after midnight, because there were so many shootings and so many people shooting up in the air. Many vehicles were damaged. I remember one time a Buena Vista fire truck decided that they were going to go out on a 911 call right at midnight. They ended up replacing their fire truck because it had so many bullet holes in it, it was no longer usable. And listen, I remember hearing a lot growing up, nothing good happens past 10 o'clock at night. And you know what? He thought he could handle it. And so, listen, it goes back to that idle time. But listen, bars do their greatest business when the sun goes down. And sin likes to hide under the cover of darkness. And let me ask you this. You know when running 911 in Bucyrus, the Crazy Fox and all those bars around there, you know when most bar fights happen? It's not at 11 a.m., it's usually at 11 p.m. or 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. But listen, he thinks he's invincible. He thinks that it's not going to affect him. The next is he's gullible. Look at verse 15. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. As an illustration, I wrote gullible right up on the ceiling, right up there. He is so dumb that he thinks that out of all the men in the city, the seducing woman chose him. She thinks he's the strongest, the handsomest, the best in the whole city, when really she was looking for anyone to destroy. She went from corner to corner to corner looking for her prey. And so we see that he was gullible. Next, verse 22. He was blind. The Bible says he goeth forth after a straight way as the ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Straight way, right to the woman, making a beeline. And by the way, the closer he got to her, the less he could see the trap that she had set. And way in the distance was Solomon, looking from his window, seeing the whole thing with his heart sinking. By the way, this is why pastoral counseling is important. God gives a unique perspective to the pastor. He has seen and counseled with many others that have gone down the same path. When you go down the wrong direction, you have a burning desire. Basically, it's like you're blind. Solomon could see it even before that young man got there. Next we see he is soon dead. Verse 23. The Bible says, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare and knoweth not that is for his life. The Bible says that he received a dart through his liver. That was a vital organ. We see that he has yielded, he has given in, and she has ruined him. Now listen, next we're kind of going to shift gears. The patience of a devil. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10. The Bible says, "And behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot and subtle of heart." This is the woman who advertises what she is by what she wears. She knew that morning that she was going to look for a man to hurt. She intentionally dressed in such a way to get men to look at her. She wanted to be noticed and to get in trouble. Verse 11, the Bible talks about, "She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house." She is loud and stubborn. By the way, when it comes down to it, anyone who is outspoken, bullheaded, and won't listen to anyone, those are the people that will always become a problem. Look at verse 11 again. "She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house." She was a busybody. We see that she wasn't satisfied with normal life. She wasn't satisfied with building her kids. She wasn't satisfied with building her family. She wanted excitement and thrills. What she didn't have, she wanted. And so we see that she was a busybody. Moving along in verse 12, we see, "Now is she without, now in the street, and lieth in wait at every corner." She was seeking to devour. See, the Holy Spirit here is allowing us to see behind the mask of this woman. She will appear to be someone that she isn't to attract a man. She is searching for someone to capture and ruin. The Bible says that she wait at every corner. Next we see she is a hypocrite. Verse 14, "I have peace offering with me. This day I have paid my vows." I have paid my vows. In other words, I go to church. You know what? I'm religious, just like you. And she'll say whatever she can to make the connection. I am just like you. I'm Baptist, just like you are. You know what? I got right with God. And she's trying to find common ground with this young simple man. And you know what? Subtly, she is placing her bait here and there. Next, we see in verse 15. "Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee." She is a liar. She was not looking for him. She was looking for anybody. A fool is gullible to the lies. He will leave what he has for a lie. And then he finds out that she is not what she appears to be. Next we see in verses 16 and 17, "I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon." She is a schemer. She prepared her bed because she planned to do wrong. Next, she is unfaithful. Verse 19, "For the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey." The good man was her husband. She was married. Whether she lied and said she was separated, separated is still married. And by the way, a couple who separates almost is guaranteed to end in divorce. Next, we see she is deadly. Verses 26 and 27. The Bible says, "For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down into the chambers of death." Solomon is sharing the difference between a wise man and a fool. You see, a fool only lives for the moment. He only lives for the next hour or two. And by the way, the wise man, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And if we'll just get this one truth, this will save us a lot of heartache. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 29. The Bible says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." See, a wise man is tempted just like everybody else. But a wise man, has the ability to look through to the end and decide what to do. The Bible says, "Oh, that we'd consider the latter end." See, a fool just lives for the here and now. A fool doesn't consider the consequences. He doesn't consider what he was going to lose. See, this young man is going to sacrifice so much in the future. He's going to sacrifice, he may sacrifice his family. He may sacrifice potential. He may sacrifice. He doesn't realize what he's going to sacrifice. All he knows is that he is living for the here and now. And by the way, that's the world. That's the way the world is living today. You know what? Forget about what happens in the future. Give me my money now. Give me my, it's my money and I want it now. And listen, we'll take and we'll live for the here and now. We'll live and we'll sacrifice the future on the altar of the present. And we won't consider the end. A wise man says, you know what? I'm going to consider where this leads. As a parent, I'm going to consider where my parenting skill, what I deem as my rules for parenting, I'm going to consider what kind of product that is at the end. You know what? Too many times we decide that, listen, well, I don't feel like parenting like I should right now. Consider the end. Well, I don't feel like enforcing these rules. Consider the end. You say, well, I don't feel like coming to church. Consider the end. I don't feel like reading my Bible. Consider the end. I don't feel like praying. Consider the end. I don't feel like serving in the church. Consider the end. Listen, a wise man or a wise woman will say, you know what? I may not feel like certain things. I may not desire certain things, but you know what? I learned from Proverbs that I'm going to consider the end and my actions are going to align with the destination that I want, because that is a wise person. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result than what we already have. And so we've got to consider the end. That's a wise individual. You see, Solomon was wounded by sin. Samson, the same thing. Samson was used great by God, has an Nazarite vow. Decided to tell his woman that if he cut my hair, my power leaves. He was wounded by sin. David got involved with a woman. He was not where he's supposed to be. He paid the ultimate price. Demas, the Bible says, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. They were all wounded by sin. Consider all that happens when we lose to that evil woman of sin. I'm sure it was sad and heartbreaking to Solomon to see this simple man just walking blissfully towards this snare. But you know what's interesting is there's two ways we handle rebuke. Because the Bible says, rebuke a wise man and he will hear. But you know what? A fool can't be told anything. Solomon here is looking through the window and he sees this young man passing by and his heart breaks because he knows what is coming. He was hoping that his son Rehoboam would be wise enough to avoid this snare, because that young man's life that walked by, he saw, was changed forever. You see, the difference between a wise man and a fool is, a wise man is tempted like anyone else, but can evaluate the temptation, realizes all that he would lose, and avoids that temptation. But a fool just keeps on walking. Let's pray. Dear my Father, we thank you so much for this lesson in Proverbs. Dear my Father, I pray that you'd help us to walk with you. Help us to get wisdom. Help us to be able to look into the future and consider the end. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.